So you want to hear that story of the perfect master that was told by Baba. It so happened, I don't remember now the actual discussion that led to this story. But there was some topic, you see, about different types of human beings in the world. And then how the avatar always comes in a human form, male human form, the advent can never take place in a form which is not male. Male human form. But Baba says the perfect masters can be in female form or a male form. And I think now, while I am telling this story, I now feel that yes, the topic was this, and that he said that, but there is one instance where there was a perfect master in North India, where he was a eunuch. What's a eunuch, you ask me? Here we recognize eunuchs, you see. The common meaning behind it is castrated male, you see. Because these eunuchs were kept by the Mughal emperors to protect their harem, you see, as watchkeepers, to guard the safety of the women. They needed men. But the emperors or the kings or the royalty did not feel secure and safe to employ men to watch over their women folk. So they castrated them and made them into eunuchs. But then what Baba was telling us about was not an incident of a person who was a man-made eunuch, but he was a born eunuch, where means he was, what's the word for it? Undeveloped sex organ, male sex organ, you see, he was born like that. So that also we call it eunuch here, commonly spoken here. There is a sect here in India. And so the topic of the day was about how the avatar is always in male human form, and the perfect masters are sometimes always in male human form, but sometimes there are cases of female form, female perfect masters, like Baba Jan herself here. Baba then gave us the story about this perfect master who was a eunuch. So here in India, you know, it's a different sect here. You see, they do not get mixed with the society, the common society, the ordinary society of men and women or anything of sort. But from their appearance, even the men folk, you see, they wear saris and they wear jewelry and they wear bangles and so forth, you see. Necklaces and earrings and nose rings and all that. And their vocation is just to sing songs, you see, and dance on the streets. The leader of this sect carries a drum, you see, from the shoulders, and then he plays the drum, and the others clap their hands, you see, and dance and sing and all that, and make merry, you see, on the streets. And people stand round, you see, just for the sake of fun, and sometimes they throw an anna or two or some cents, you see, to help them, that's all. And at the time of when a child is born in a family, this party is called to sing. Or when there is some occasion, these parties are called to sort of entertainment, you see. But the society looks down upon this caste, you see, this sect, as if they are misfit in the society, you see. And their interests are always discarded and nobody cares for them. Now in northern India, a place called Lucknow, you know, it's a big place. So there was one, you see. I forget now the name. Baba also told us the name. He's a famous person, famous master, you see. I forget the name. I don't want to, give the name which I'm not sure. So we will call him the master. So this master, as is usual with this sect, was heading the party of these eunuchs, you see. And they would go from street to street, and his companions, you see, who were also eunuchs, you see, they would clap their hands and sing and dance and all that, and they will all walk in a procession headed by the master. But people thought that, well, this is the usual group, you see, of eunuchs. And Lucknow is famous for all those sort of things. You see, there are that sect somehow or other you find predominant over there, you see. And, well, nobody paid any heed or attention to it except to ridicule the whole thing. And they used to derive fun out of these people. So there was one day this master was passing through the main street of that big city. It's now the capital of North India, this little place, Lucknow. So there was one wrestler who was the strongest person there, you see. He was going with his group of his admirers and other wrestlers, you see. He was a wrestler. Baba is telling us the story, mind you. So, says, this wrestler trying to show off, you see, on that main street, when the group was about to pass them, this wrestler who was heading his group just lifted his hand, his arm, and with a forefinger pointed at the master. Said, look at that man, you see, that eunuch. That eunuch, you see. See that, how he heads that group of people there. And how he walks, you see, as if he's the Lord over here. And he just his forefinger remained pointing at the person, even though the master and the group, whole group, passed by. So then after some distance was crossed, the master turns back and looks at him and shouts out to him. He says, well, you are a strong man, you see. Haven't you got the strength to put down your own arm? His arm was paralyzed, became stiff there. He had no strength, you see. When he pointed out how ridiculously, you see, ridiculing the whole thing, so he thought that he was a great wrestler, a very strong man and all that. So his arm remained stiff in the air. He couldn't do anything. So the master from there shouts out, all right now, strong man, put down your arm. So then he could put it down, and the master walked past. That was the first indication that the people in the town got of the greatness of this person, this personality. Another story that Baba told us about this master was a very funny story, something I think that never happens in the world. And the story is this. Have you all heard the story? Last time I didn't tell you the story. All right then. It will be a nice thing for you all to hear this also. So Baba tells us that there is another incident recorded about this master's greatness. People, as I told you, the whole town ridiculed this sect and this group because they had some shelter, you see, of this great master. So the whole sect followed him, knowing fully well that he was somebody great. Maybe in his own group he might have given some experiences to them. Maybe a perfect master was for that particular sect, for the development or upliftment for the sect. You see, we don't know what's the divine plan, you see. So maybe some from the group knew his greatness, and the whole sect followed him. And there was a huge crowd all the time around him. This somehow or other drew the attention of the so-called society, you see, in the town. And they were not happy with the happenings that were happening around a person who was himself a eunuch, and he was regarded as a great personality, you see. Society couldn't gulp this, couldn't swallow this, you see. So it is but natural that there was a big crop of adversaries around him too. So in order to denounce the master, you see, and they thought that he was posing himself to be a great person, or posing himself to be a person having some spiritual powers or something like that. So they tried to have formulate a plan so that they could just humiliate him, denounce him publicly. They selected two youngsters, you see, a very handsome boy and another equally handsome but having delicate features, so that they dressed that other lad, you see, in a woman's dress, you see, and then dress the other one as bridegroom, you see, and put before the master as bride and the bridegroom, newly married, you see, and wanting the blessing of the master. So the leader of the society that was against this group engineered this plan and said to this so-called couple that they should approach with their followers and friends to the master and beg for a boon, saying that they are married now for some time and they want to be blessed to have a very good child, you see, born out of them. So they went to the master, fully dressed, you see, in their best of clothes. One of the boys dressed as a girl, another boy dressed as a man, you see, a husband and wife there with the other followers. So they went and sat down by this in front of him. After a while, after the singing and the dancing and everything subsided and they all settled down and all that, the master naturally, his attention was drawn towards this couple. He says, "Well, what do you want? Why are you sitting for so long now?" He says, "Master, of course they had their other friends there around them too, to guard them or to watch the whole show, to be witnesses to the whole thing. That included some of the leaders from the society too." He said, "Master, we are married and we have come for your blessings. And we want your blessings so that we may have a child which is worthy." So he turns to the so-called girl, you see, the boy dressed in girl's garb, and emphatically asks the person, says, "Do you want a child?" So she is dressed in a sari, and I don't know how to express this, give you a picture of it. You know, when a girl is newly married, she always has a sort of a sari over her head, hiding half of her face, veiling half of her face, you see. And with a very coy voice and all that, she says, "Yes, Master, I would like to have a good son." So Master again asks, "Are you sure you want a child, a baby?" So then he turns, and she says, "Yes." And then he turns to the bridegroom and says, "Do you really want it?" He says, "Yes, Master, we have come for the blessing for that." He says, "You are blessed," the Master says. "Go." So they go, and no sooner they turn their backs, they start giggling, you see, that they have fooled the master. It's but natural for human beings to feel that way. Little did they know that his word cannot go in vain, you see. So when they left, they went and mixed with the other crowd there, you see, and then they held a meeting over there, and they said that now we can denounce him publicly. That here are the two who had been to the master, and the master thought them to be a real husband and wife, you see, and blessed them with an issue. And so, well, they were now starting to form a plan how to get rid of this man who called himself, or who was looked upon as a master, the perfect master. A month or two passed by, you see, in the meantime. And the girl, the boy who addressed himself as the girl and approached the master, somehow or other started having peculiar feelings in the abdomen, you see, in the whole system. Didn't know what to do. What was it? Thought that, well, in the beginning, of course, thought that he felt a bit indisposed. Then he felt ill. And then something was wrong. People thought that there was indigestion. Or something was there, you see. Why was this sign, you see, didn't know. And within two more months, you see, there was the sign that something had changed completely. The feeling was that there was something extraneous within his body, you see, in his body. And that boy, you see, took fright. He knew, because his conscience was biting there. There was that, you see. It's not a joke to play tricks with the masters, perfect masters like that. And the bridegroom had completely forgotten this. But that one who had dressed as a female, you see, she bore the brunt, and she was pest, what you call, having this feeling which always remained there and disturbed the poise. So he approached the bridegroom and said, "What's this? We tried to play fool with the master, and there is something wrong with me. I feel myself totally changed, and I feel that his blessings will come true in no time. And how will it be possible? What will happen to me?" So they approached the head of the society again, who was considered to be the Seti father, you may call it. He says, "This has happened. Is that fact?" He says, "Yes." So they, with the very thought of something some danger to the person there, they were humbled. And says, "Well, what can we do now?" So again there was another large group meeting and all that, and the only thing that was there, after all Indians are rather spiritual minded and they have great respect for the masters and all that, but it was natural for them to feel, to have such a feeling towards a person who was supposed to be a eunuch, you see. That was the only reason, you see, why they behaved like that. So, well, they could realize that even eunuchs, you see, there's nothing impossible with God, and even eunuchs can be the masters, you see. They could realize later on. So then what happened was that it was planned that the two should again go back, go to the master and beg pardon sincerely. They went. They tried to seek his presence, but this time the master had his day, you see. And they would, as usual, you see, sing and dance, and master would lead the whole group and go from one street to another street and then wait in front of somebody's house there, and somebody would throw some coins or give food or something like that, while away the time, that's all. So this, they were very serious about their own affair. There was a problem, serious problem. They wanted some private audience, you see, but they couldn't get the opportunity. Master avoided them for some days. One day, somehow or other, they could come in his presence where master settled down, and they begged of the master to redeem them from this sin that they had committed in his presence. So the master just laughed and said that, "Well, the word that I have given, I cannot withdraw. My blessings cannot be withdrawn. I have no power to withdraw my own blessings. Only those who follow me around me, who are around me, who are close to me here, they are themselves eunuchs, mind you. So if they intervene and they plead to God, the Almighty, maybe that he will pay heed." Because he wanted to bring home to the people there, who call themselves the normal society, you see, that there is this sect here which shouldn't be discarded. Their voice is also there to be heard by God, you see. So he said that, "Once I have given my blessings, I can't withdraw. The only recourse now left to you is to bend your heads towards them, you see, who follow me, who are close to me. Maybe God might pay heed to their pleading, their prayer, and you be relieved of your dilemma. Get rid of this dilemma." "All right." So they went and tried to humble themselves before his followers now, and they begged them to do something, to pray. So the followers remained dumb. They didn't know what to do, whether they should take action or not. So the master then intervened and said, "Can't you do one little thing for them? Haven't you got a little heart that you should pray to God so that they can be relieved of this?" So they all joined together in the prayer, and very gradually the feelings that happening that the boy felt in within gradually subsided, and within a couple of months he felt normal. From that day, This whole thing went round the whole town, you see, in no time. And from that day onwards, nobody ridiculed them. Nobody. They all revered and respected. And even the cream of the society.